b'tshuva asnor b'yehuda, al das ha'isha, asher husam tabas shel shava, toch omek ha'prosdor, l'tzorech refua, imchotetz b'tfila. So this is talking about a vaginal pessary. That is a removable device that's placed into osel makom, and it's designed to support the areas in the case of pelvic organ prolapse. Prolapse is basically that the organs in your lower belly, such as your bladder, have dropped from its normal place and are now pushing down against the vagina or the like. So they would put in a ring to hold it in place. And the question is whether or not that's a chatzitza. Now, my initial reaction would have been it's not, because it's balua, not beis hasdarim, as we talked about earlier. So the Chut HaShani answers that this Nota Biyuda seems to be assuming that anything that is reachable by normal use, where again, Sifkat and Tezayin in the Pesachei Tshuva, anything that's reachable by normal use is considered beis hasdarim. So since this is reachable by normal use, for example, this area of her body is the place where she puts her finger in for bedikos, or is reached during tashmish by the Eivir HaZachar, so therefore, it's considered beis hasdarim. And that's why we'll see in a moment that the Nota Biyuda is lenient if it's in an area that's not reached during tashmish. Why? Because since it's not reachable during normal activities, so then it's not beis hasdarim anymore, it's balua. Now, in this case, the ring is reachable. Oftentimes, the ring is put in precisely because everything is dropping. Ulechora, afilu misiro lefamim, kegon b'shas herayon, gam lo yechatzitza lazichro. Oh, sorry. I'm not reading the notice here, I got off base. Now, you could ask a different question, which is, why should this be a chatzitza? Maybe it should be like the Zichron Yosef. In other words, does the Nota Biyuda agree with the Zichron Yosef? Let's imagine, when is she ever going to take out, when is she going to be makpedes about this pessary, such that we're going to consider it a chatzitza, right? So, let's imagine, well, when will she take it off, right? So the Nota Biyuda says there are two times that she takes it off. One is to do a bedika, and two is when she gives birth. So you might have argued, not a bedika, I mean a hefsek tara. So Rav Moshe, in his tshuva, says, is this Nota Biyuda going against my theory? Because what's his theory? Rav Moshe's theory is that any time there's something that you are makbid on during specific periods of time, but not at any moment, like kneading dough, but at specific times, you're only makbid every so often. Remember, the Pshat Zichron Yosef isn't at some time dependent. It's that, is this something that I could be makbid on now? So maybe you'll say that, look, she does a hefsek tara once a month, and the rest of the time she's not interested in removing this at all. So if the only time she removes the pessary is to do a hefsek tara, so then it shouldn't be a chatzitza if you follow Rav Moshe, the Zichron Yosef, or the like. So Rav Moshe tries to argue, no, that the Nota Biyuda is not against his theory, because you could, in theory, do a hefsek tara at any moment, even though, let's say, we wait 5 days to do the hefsek tara from the beginning of menstruation, but you could do it theoretically immediately, and she could start menstruating at any time, and therefore, it's something you could use any time, and therefore would be a chatzitza. And what about birth? So he says, also, you could give birth at any moment. What do you mean? It takes a while to give birth. No, you could have a miscarriage, and she would have to remove the pessary to allow the fetus to pass, and that also is something that could happen at any moment. So Rav Moshe writes that he's a little unsure about this. You could question this, but that he tries to argue that even the Nota Biyuda, who assumes that the pessary is a chatzitza, is not necessarily against his theory. Now, what about another answer? Let's say that this is dangerous to remove. So then you could have argued that it's not a chatzitza because of revisei. So Rav Vager says that. However, as we saw in Rav Moshe, that's if she always is makpedis to keep it in. But if she sometimes takes it out, so then we don't apply that kula. Okay, so let's continue reading. So again, those are three, as it were, chidushim, that this is even a tzad, that there's a chatzitza, right? A, that it's considered beis hastarim and not balua, and B, that the fact that she's not makbid now, but she's occasionally makbid, makes it a chatzitza now. Continuing, the kasav, tizeh vaday kari makbid, sharehu mislach lech tamid, bimei nidasa v'tzricha lasira beis shetifsok betahara, lenakosa, v'chein bimei leida, v'ulay ma'akev gam habdika tamid, b'shiva nekiyim v'tzricha lasira v'em kain, hu davar shemakbid. Now, just agav, somebody earlier this man asked about, what about a nuva ring? What does a nuva ring have to do with this? So nuva ring is, first of all, it's a type of hormonal contraception. And even though it's called a ring, it has nothing to do with this. It looks like a ring, but you just put it in the vaginal canal. It's not like going around something. It's not like the pessary, which is a ring that's supporting something from collapsing. You just stick it there. But what's the halacha? Do you have to take it out for hafsek tara? Do you have to take it out for bedikos? Do you have to take it out for tevila? So Rav Woolig's position is that you should take it out for hafsek tara and the first bedika, as well as for tevila. And he was told by doctors taking it out for an hour twice a month is not going to...
What's it called?
Nuva ring. N-U-V-A ring. It's not going to hurt its functionality. So therefore, he thinks that you need to... Remember, we saw the Nobiyut is unsure about... He said, hafsek tara and maybe bedikos. Woolig thinks that you should be machmir to have it out for bedikos and hafsek tara. But like we said, really, mikar ikar adin, one bedik is enough. And we also hold, according to Rabbi Woolig, that a bedik at night is enough. So his suggestion is like this. You take it out right before shkia, you do your hafsek tara, then, you know, you wait 35 minutes, 40 minutes, you do a second bedika, which will be your bedika shayom rishon, you put it back, leave it in for the next 7 days, and then, before you go to the mikvah, you take it out, or if you want, even better, is to get a bedika shayom shvi'i, so right before shkia, again, you take it out, you get your last bedika in. You should do bedika the rest of the time anyway, each, you know, every day like you always do. But al hatzad that this is a problem. It's ma'akev for the bedika because it's ma'akev choron v'stakin, because it could theoretically block areas of the vaginal canal. So then you take it out again right before the end of shiva nekiyim. So I don't know, 10 minutes before shkia, you take it out. You do your last bedika. You leave it out till you go to the mikvah, and then you put it back in afterwards. So you take it out, you know, twice a month, each time for an hour. That won't, it'll still be effective birth control, and that's what you should do. There are other poskim. Ari Four seems to be more mako. He says it only has to be removed for the hafsek tara and tevila. In other words, apparently, he's not worried that it's ma'akev chorin v'stakin. He's worried that it might be dirty, which is why he thinks you need to take it out for the hafsek tara. But you don't even have to do what Rabbi Willick says. Either way, I think if you didn't take it out for tefillah, we would say it's okay. Certainly if you hold like Rav Moshe, but even without holding like Rav Moshe, because it's not really mehuduk, it's not attached to anything. Okay, so continuing in the Pesach Tshuva, Amnam, Af she'amru beis hastarim tzarich li'oz roi l'bi'as mayim, da'afka beis hastarim amru kein, av v'mokam anikra balua ein tzarich, afil roi l'bi'as mayim, like we said, v'lachein, im isha zos omer shehu kol kach ba'omek, as mikri balua, like we said, because if it's not a place in the body that's ever really reached, so then it's balua. Which was וכן בימי לידה. וכסב, דעשרה, שבייס לידה לא מקרי מקביד, שאין עושה העשרה מיטה מקפדה, לא על הטבאוס, ולא על הלך גופה, אלא לפנוס מקום לבד. Let's imagine, she only removes it for giving birth. She doesn't remove it for hafsektara, because she doesn't, for whatever reason. But she does remove it for birth. So the note of Yud implied that removing it for birth would give it a shame chatzitza. So he says, not true. Because there, it's true you're makbid to remove it in order to give birth. But it's not the pshat that you're makbid on its place. What's a chatzitza? Chatzitza is something's on my body, and a makbid it's here. I want to remove it. When she removes it to give birth, it's just because lahasir makom. The baby can't get out as long as the ring's there. So to make room, being makbid to remove something to make room for something else is not a chatzitza. And he brings a fascinating raya. V'raya l'zeh, mitabas shal ish, she'en bo evan, she'en chotzeitz, k'mo shkos magan avram, da'avtim asir b'shas anachas tefillin, adhiles lo lov. Oh, it says like this. Let's say a man has a ring without a stone. So the question is, could he wash till he dies with it? So maybe he'll say, of course he can't. It's chotzeitz. Why? Because he takes off his ring to put on tefillin. And therefore, he's makbid every morning to remove his ring. So therefore, anytime you're makbid to remove something, it's a chatzitza, so you should have to take off your ring for the tefillin sedayim. So the Magen Avraham says, it's not, right? Actually, it's coming from the Marshal. So the Marshal says, a man doesn't have to take off his unstoned ring. So the Chassam Sofer says, so why isn't it a chatzitza? Now, rak, emay setrichal asir b'shas prishas tahara, ze vade kar makbid. So now, so Taka, why don't you have to take it off for Tulin? Right? So in other words, that begs the question. He's saying that the reason why you have to take it off for Tulin is because the chatzitza isn't the problem, you just have to make space. So first of all, just so you know, it's not clear that there's an issue of chatzitza at all with respect to the ritzuas of the Tulin on the hands. Right? It's not at all clear. There's a issue with chatzitzos for the ritzuos of the tefillin b'makom kricha, so then if it's on the upper arm, you have to be concerned with chatzitzos, where we don't hold like the Rashba. However, there are some poskim that recommend that it's preferable to avoid all chatzitzos. That's why you'll see most people take off their watches when they put on their tefillin. It's not something you have to. I don't even think the chumra is brought down in the Mishnah Brura. But there are some poskim who say that we are concerned, we want the ritzuos to touch the body, even the ritzuos, not just b'makom b'kricha, but the whole arm. And therefore, such a person would want to take off their ring when putting on tefillin. So what's he saying? The Chassam Sofer is saying, why do I remove the ring, right? Is it because I'm makbid that the ring not be here? Well, then it would be a chatzitza for Tfilas Yadayim. Saying, that's not the pshat why I remove the ring. I remove the ring to make room for the ritzuos. So since I'm removing the ring to make room for the ritzuos, that is not a chatzitza. Right? And therefore, likewise, if she removes the ring to make room for Lefanos Havlad, so then it's also not a chatzitza. Yes?
Why isn't that for Hasitara? I'm doing it because I'm just trying to accomplish Hasitara. I'm not going to place. I actually want it.
So, good. It's a good question. So he's saying like this. It depends why you remove it. In other words, if I remove it, I would assume, lefanos makom. In other words, in order to reach all the chorin v'stakim, you're saying that it shouldn't be a chatzitza either. Why should this be? In other words, the Chassam Sofer sounds like he's saying, I have the Chassam Sofer over here, I'm going to look it up right now. Chassam Sofer sounds like the way he's quoting is that if he's just disagreeing with respect to Lefanos Vlad, but you're saying the same thing should be true for Hafsek Tara, right? In other words, if the only reason you're removing the ring is to is because the ring is blocking certain areas. So why would that be different? Yeah.
It sounds like the point is not that you need space for the tower, that it's dirty. It ruins, meaning you are mounted on it. It's actually like flooded on the item, that's because you need space for the tower.
Well, why do you have to, what, so it's dirty, in other words, you have to make sure it's clean.
Right.
But so is that also,
it
gets dirty, and now you want to remove it. So why do you have to remove it? Because to begin a hasik tower, you have to make sure it's clean. You have to do a bedika on it. But so is that also,
is that
not the svara that he says about leda though?
No, that's his difference. Right. That's what he's saying. That's the difference between leda and bedikos. When it comes to leda, why do I want to remove it to make room? So that's not a chatzitza. When it comes to bedikos, or hafsek tara at least, why do I want to remove it? Because it's dirty. Some removing something due to its dirtiness is going to be a hasek tara, right? Is going to be a chatzitza. Which is interesting, because, so if that's right, so let's say, let's assume for a moment, in the case of the nuva ring. So there, why do you want to remove it for hasek tara? Is it because it's dirty? You don't care that it's dirty. Right, so why do you want to remove it? I think Rabbi Willig thinks you need to remove it to give access to Chorin Vistakin. So that, you would have to remove it then for Bedikos, but it shouldn't be a Chatzitza B'Shas Tvila. Right? That's true. So then you should be able to put it back in and then go to the mikvah. So we could find out. Maybe in Achanami, according to Chorin Sofer, that would be true. Yeah, once it's out already, leave it out for Tvila. But, but l'chaora, if we accept the svara of the chsam sofer, then in that case, if you're just removing it because it blocks access, then it should be okay. Just one second. Yeah, l'chora, that's right. In other words, l'chora, according to that logic, let's say in the numering, you shouldn't have to remove it for tvila. If the only reason why you remove it for the bedikos, what? Well, you don't care if it's dirty.
No, I'm saying for
hefsek tara purposes. Yeah, but even then, you don't care if it's dirty. In other words, there's no problem be'etzem with having blood in your beis hachitzon in for hafsek tara, elamai. To do a hafsek tara, you need it to be clean. So now, so I don't know, I have to find out. In other words, when it's removed for the hafsek tara, A, is it dirty? And B, you have to wash it off, or what? In other words, there would be nothing wrong with, let's say it is dirty. You take it out, you do your hafsek tara, and you put it back in dirty. Right? Now, doing that, could get you into trouble, I suppose, in a later bedika, because now there's old blood in there. So you're saying maybe that too is considered makbid on the dirtiness. To find out the metzias. I don't know if they do get dirty or not. But even if it did, we don't care about dirt be'etzem on the nuvaring, right?
You're not good because it makes
her dirty.
But again,
so that's what we have to find out in the
tzitzis. Doesn't clean it, doesn't know what that would be. If that's true.
Hadachas mayim.
Meaning, any woman does that.
Well, she's doing hadachas mayim on her outside, not necessarily on her inside. It interrupts it because it prevents, it simply prevents her from, it could prevent the bedika cloth from reaching the chorin v'stakin. That's what I assumed was the problem.
Because then, for sure, then it's not.
Right. And I'm saying, I'm not.
That it's actually bloody and compensating against blood and bedika cloth, then it means that you are doing bedika in that area, which means that
I'm not sure, because still you're not You don't care about the dirt. We're not worried about the dirt on the ring. We're worried about whether the ring is the chatzitza on the in Oso Mako.
During Hafsik
Tara? Yeah. Oh, during Hafsik Tara, we want to make sure there's no blood on it. But that's not a chatzitza in terms of the tefillah, the mikvah. That's what I'm saying. Okay, so we have to look into that.
Zichrios and Beiter, I think it sounds like he's cautious for the back end of the Chorin and stuff. But I guess this would be the Chasm Sofer.
I don't know what you mean.
Later on in Pesach Chuv.
Yeah, we'll get there. Kalash Gazan Oda Behuda. The Maish is also Marash, who call Kach Omer Hosef Zal. Da'af im Misupakim Bekach, Ve'af Shavei Chisar Nyediyah. When it comes to these rings, if it can be removed, you should be remove it. I think most pessaries can't be removed without a doctor, and therefore we're makel to treat them like balua. We're makel lemaisa to treat them like balua. Okay, fine. What's the halacha with a suffix base astarim? So that's what Shmuel was just talking about. Mm-hmm. So the Pesachei Tshuva writes, V'ayin b'zichron Yosef, shekasav b'feirash delinyan miyot ha-makbid, aminan suffix drabanan l'kula. Right, so let's say we have a potential chatzitza here, but the chatzitza that we're dealing with is vadai, not a chatzitza deraisa. At worst, it's miyot ha-makbid. So then you could be makel suffix drabanan l'kula. So he writes, "V'tzach iyan kais ha'beschazik isura lo amin an safik drabanan kedileal sof simen kuf yud v'hachas chazik isura de tumas nida tzach lomar de safar lekedas pichadash." Meaning to say, if you look over there, this is pashto say machlokas between the Rambam and the Rashba as to whether we say safik drabanan kula b'makom is chazik isura. So over here you have a safik drabanan, safik chatzitza, but it's definitely drabanan. So the Rashba's machmir, and that's the way the Shach paskins. The Rambam is mekel, that's the way the Prichadash paskins. So that's what the Pesachei Tshuva is saying over here. The Zichron Yosef, who's mekel for Safek Dirabanan in Chatzitzos, must be assuming like the Rambam, in which case he's saying maybe we, Lemaisa, should be machmir if we accept the Shach and the Rashba. So the Shevet HaLevi was asked the following shaila. This is Chela Gimel Simen Kuf Chaf Ches. A woman has false teeth, and she can't remember if she removed them b'shas tefillah. She comes out of the mikvah, she has her teeth back on, she says, did I take these off when I was under? So he writes that if she regularly takes them off when she's rochetzes, so then that might be a tzad lahakel, because we assume she does what she normally does. And if you hold like the Zichron Yosef, you could also be makel because of Safek Durabanan Lakula, based off of the Prichadash. And even if you hold like the Pesachei Tshuva that we paskin, like the Shach, that we're machmir, here you could be makel, and he has a number of svaros. Number one is the opinion of the Taz. The Taz comes up in Simen Samach Tassif, Katan Chav Dalid. There the context is a woman who cooks meat and she doesn't remember if she salted it. So the Taz is Mekel, Sircha Nakat. In other words, you always salt your meat before you cook it. Every single time she cooks meat, she always knows to salt it first. So there we're dealing with a Zavik Deraisa. Well, maybe. You could be Megel, Sircha Nakat. So over here, she's always Tovelis when she takes off her false teeth, so she could assume that she did it here also. Plus, in the Safik Chatzitza Beis Astarim, there's even more of a Tzad to be Megel based off of that Raivit and the Shach that we talked about last time. That's the Psak of the Shulchan Aruch, even though, again, the Shach himself is no to Lahachmir, but the Raivit is Megel. And finally, he's not even sure that false teeth are in so tight, they're Dvukos Kol Kach, that it's considered Eina Roy Labias Mayim. Certainly, perhaps according to Rav Moshe, that would be the case. I don't know exactly how false teeth fit in, but at least from observing my grandmother, they didn't seem to be in so tight. So in light of those three tzadim lahakel, he is Mekel. Okay. Sif Chaf Zayin. Kafza Yada Kilo Tavlas. We already saw Machlokas. Achronim had to understand that. According to Rav Moshe, the pshat is that it is a tvila with a chatzitza, unless it's basis darma, in which case it's nothing at all. And according to the Zichron Yosef, the pshat is no, the opposite, that this isn't a chatzitza, this is a non-tvila, because it's ki'ilu, it's chutz lemikva, like the Lashon of the Mishnah, ki'ilu lo tavla. Maybe you could bring a raya for the Zichron Yosef from the Taz on Sifcha Ches, that says if she's holding on to her friend very tightly, he tries to argue this is the view. I mean, the Rashba does say this, and maybe other Rishonim as well, the Mordechai. If she's holding on to her friend's hands extremely tight, it's a chatzitza, and it's a chatzitza derabanan. That's why the Taz has certain leniencies. Now, if you hold like the Zichron Yosef, it's a chatzitza mideraisa, right? So you have a rai against the Zichron Yosef from the Taz who says that holding on very tightly is only a chatzitza derabanan. Fine. Now, a raya, though, perhaps for the Zichron Yosef, is from the Gemaras that talk so much exactly how to be tovel, you know, the positions and the likes. We talked about this earlier, and we paskin that in Sif Lamed Hei. And it sounds like if there was a makom galui, in other words, that's not beis hastarim, that didn't touch the water, it's not a tefillah at all. So why don't you say it's miut ve'eno makbid? Meaning to say, if you treat the area of your body that is not exposed to the water due to your being in a funny position as a chatzitza, so maybe we should say miut she'eno makbid. Now the Rambam actually writes that. Rambam writes, Hakofes yada v'ragla v'yashav lo ba'amas ha'mayim im nichnesu mayim derech kulo tahor, but otherwise it's eno tahor. It sounds like we don't say, well, maybe it's miyot she'eno makbid, but it's not going to be a very good raya, because you'll say, no, maybe we're makbid about that. You're makbid, you know, I don't know, that the parts of my shoulder blades, whatever types of parts of the body aren't going to be exposed to the water when you're in a funny position, maybe you are makbid that there not be that area be exposed. I'm not sure if that's a raya. So what are the nafkaminas then, if you hold like the Zichron Yosef or not? So one is it shayach chatzitza midaraisa by miyot? According to Zichron Yosef, yes. According to the pashtus, we'll say no. And of course, the second question would be in a suffix. Let's say suffix kafza yada. But you know that rov of your body was exposed to the water. So according to, if you could be makel b'makom suffix, let's say you hold like Rav Moshe, so it's mutter. And according to Rav Moshe, it's mutter. It's not even, it would be a suffix derabanan without a chezkas tuma because there's a vaday tefila.
What was the first name?
Just is it shaycha chatzitza midaraisa b'miyot? It's not really nafkamina. That's the case. What they're arguing about. Yes.
Isn't it stam hashna shachar aruch also against the shachar aruch because he says by all these things will also let tefila just hashna derabanan and also changes it from.
You're saying he takes the lashon of the Mishnah, which is kilu lo tavla, and he says they'll also let tefila. Maybe, I don't know. Yeah.
It's not so Rav Moshe.
Mm-hmm.
So wouldn't that also be
Wouldn't that be? Yes. No. Because if it is a chatzitza, in the mouth, the only thing that's a chatzitza is something that's musreches, right? That's glued on tight, like the bone between the teeth, right? In which case it's a chatzitza. It's not this type of chatzitza, where you just block water, doesn't exist in Beis HaStarim, according to Rav Moshe, because you don't need Bias Mayim, you only need Royal Bias Mayim, right? So, if false teeth are not tightly in, so then it's not a chatzitza at all. And if it is tightly in, So then it's a chatzitza, and a chatzitza, according to Moshe, is non-tvila. Moshe says the exact opposite of the Zichron Yosef. Right. Exactly. Now here we have another question, which is, do you have to open up your mouth when going to the mikvah? So we all know that you don't, but the truth is, it's not so simple. This is a machlokas rishonim. Remember, the Mishnah says, in mikvahos, perk ches, Mishnah hey, nasna sa'ar b'fi, akavta yada, kartza sifsoseha, ki'ilu lo tavla. So what does it mean, kartza sifsoseha, ki'ilu lo tavla? So the Rosh gives two options. The first is that it means that she closes her lips, v'lo nichnasu ha'mayim b'fiha, v'nehide bi'as mayim lo ba'inan, v'vesa starim, v'ayla bi'as mayim. In other words, v'ayla bi'as mayim means that water must be able to enter. The water doesn't have to enter. You don't have to, you know, stay in the mikvah for 3 minutes until water actually fills up your mouth. But your mouth does have to be slightly open such that water could enter. And therefore, if you close your lips, you seal your lips, it's an invalid tefillah. That's what the Mishnah is saying. Kartza sifsoseha ki lo tavla. The second shot is that it means she puckers her lips tightly, in which case the problem is that the skin of her lips, is not going to be accessible to the water. So the Rosh and all the other Rishonim accept the second shot in the Rosh. And that's why the way we paskin, you don't have to open up your mouth in the water. The truth is, the Pisei Chetshuva, Sifkan Yud Zayin, writes the same thing. He writes, Kasa B'Sefer Chamudei Daniel, Avalim Kartza Shineha Lo Avi Chatzitza. Right? It's only the lips. What's the reason? For the same thing. Because your lips, and again, like Rav Moshe, your lips are not beis achitzon entirely, right? The concern with your lips, with kartza sifsoseha, is not the inside of your mouth, but the outside of your lips, right? Over here, which is not beis achitzon. So I go like this. So now part of my lips that are normally exposed to the air, the outside of my body, are not getting water. But when you go ahead and you clench your teeth. So that's, even if you clench, this ruling seems to be like Rav Moshe, even if you clench your teeth very, very, very tightly, right, you're really nervous about the water, and you super clench your teeth super duper tightly, it's no problem. Why? Because since we need Royal B.S. Mayim, doesn't mean, like the first part of the Rosh, that water has to be able to enter. It means that there's no chatzitza on it. Well, here there's no chatzitza on my teeth. I'm just clenching them very tightly. Another raya Rav Moshe brings from this halacha is that the Mishnah says, Nas namos b'fiha v'tavla lo also la tefila. So the Beis Yosef is very bothered. What's the chiddush here? First of all, they're not in tightly, and it's not shaya chatzitza. So the Beis Yosef basically said there's no chiddush at all. It's agav v'seifa, which is relevant for Roke and Tumah and the like. And that's why the Shulchan Aruch didn't bring that at all, that halacha at all up here. Rav Moshe says, it's beautiful according to me. What's the pshat? Because if the money was on the outside, it would be a chatzitza. Let's say I was toveles with money on my hand, right? So it's heavy money. Go down into the mikvah, the money, I go down like this. So now, the money will prevent water from touching my hand. That's a chatzitza. It doesn't have to be Mehoduk. As long as it prevents water, right, it's category 2 chatzitza. But that category 2 type chatzitza doesn't exist in Beis Hasdarim because all you need is Royal B'S Mayim. So Memela, that's exactly the chiddush of the Mishnah. If you put money in your mouth, it's not a chatzitza. But if you put money in your hands, it would be a chatzitza. Yes? Because that's Beis Hasdarim. Anything inside the cavity of the body, beyond the lips, right, is Beis Hasdarim. So, again, I understood the Chamudei Daniel as assuming like Rav Moshe. And therefore, clenching the teeth is no problem.
I thought he said the Svara was, is that because you're covering up the skin with the lips. Because
If you pucker your lips, that's why Kartzisissa says a problem, because this part of my lips is not base astarm. So if I go like this,
so if you should tell me sort of the teeth, so if that's a sort of the lips, why isn't it the same sort of the link?
Because the teeth are on the inside of your mouth and your lips are on the outside of your mouth. I didn't actually look up the Chamudi Daniel site, to be honest. Did you look it up?
Last year.
Okay, just look it up. I didn't look it up, but I was saying, at least, that you could explain this psak beautifully according to Rav Moshe. It would work very nicely. Yes?
Is this against the paz holds by the chatzitza by the fingernail is the cracked fingernail, that if it's only coming off
yeah.
a little bit, then, so the way Rebbe explained it, the paz held that that's considered a base of star, and that's the way of BS9, which is the motion of the paz.
So that would be against Rav Moshe. If you treated that as a base of starim, it should be against Rav Moshe. I agree. I don't have to think about that. Did he bring that up in one of the five tshuvas on this topic?
So then the puzzle says to be assuming like your first pshat in
Rash? No, or he's assuming against Rav Moshe. Rav Moshe's modeh, his vart goes against Achronim. Remember, that's why in that fifth tshuva over there, when people brought raios against him, he says, yeah, I know I'm going against Achronim. He just doesn't think he's going against the Shulchan Aruch. At first glance, I would think that you're right, that if you're going to treat that as beis hastarim, then if you hold like Rav Moshe, it wouldn't be a chatitz. And obviously, the Taz didn't hold like the first pshat of the Rash, so l'chora, it should be a rai against Rav Moshe. You could have said that it's not beis hastarim, right? And then it would be okay. In other words, you didn't have to. You could have explained the pshat of the Taz, but argued that's not beis hastarim. But once you acknowledge it's beis hastarim, but you say it's an issue of chatzitza, then l'chora, I don't see why. I don't see how it would be consistent with Rav Moshe.
Why doesn't the Taz need you to open your mouth if he thinks the nail?
I'm sorry?
If the nail is beis hastarim, why would the Taz need you to open your mouth?
That's what we're saying, because the Taz doesn't hold like Rav Moshe. The Taz holds that even in your mouth, even in beis hastarim, both types of chatzitzos are relevant. You don't have to open your mouth because you just need roil b'as mayim, but clenching your teeth would be ain't a roil b'as mayim, because if your mouth was open, the water still wouldn't get there. That's the way the Taz seems to be explaining roil b'as mayim. You need both types of chatzitzos are relevant even in beis hastarim, because how would you define the second type of chatzitza in beis hastarim? You define it as follows: if your mouth was open, would this be accessible to water? If the answer is no, then it's a chatzitza.
So, isn't the nail kind of like a closed mouth? If the nail was pried open a little bit, why
no,
would it get in there just fine?
This would be like clenched teeth, because the two parts of the beis hastarim, right, are now so close to each other that even when they're accessible to water, water can't reach them. Yes?
I apologize. What do you mean, like, the two types of chatzitzas, that if you're emotionally, one of them is applicable in the beis hastarim?
Two types of chatzitzas. Chatzitza number one is that there's something that's stuck to your skin, blocking access to the water. That's relevant both outside of your body and in beis hastarim. Chatzitza type 2 is where there's nothing else. It's just water doesn't have access. Not because something is stuck to your skin, but let's say like kartza sifsoseha,
right,
or squeezing your fist or the like.
And Rav Moshe says that's
all. Rav Moshe says that does not exist in beis hastarim, because beis hastarim doesn't need b'as mayim. It just needs raila b'as mayim. This is still raila b'as mayim. It's only ain raila b'as mayim if something is stuck to it. So, what Tyler pointed out, and I have to think about it more, but it seems to make sense to me, is that the Taz that said that when the nail is very tight to each other, it's beis hastarim, but it's still a chatzitza, that seems to be against Rav Moshe. Okay. Next, Sif Chav Ches, holding hands. So the Mishnah in Parak Ches in Mikvos writes like this: Ha'ochez be'adam ha'ochez be'adam uvekelim umatbilan tameim. Right. So if you're holding hands or you're holding on to a kli and you tovel them, it's not a valid tefillah. V'midiach yadav b'mayim tovim. If you washed your hands first, it's tahor. Why? Because the water on your hand is mischaber to the rest of the mikvah. There's no chatzitza. Reb Shimon Omer, yirape es yadav. You should loosen your hands so that way water could get in between your hands and the kli, or between your hands in the case of tefillah of a person. So there's two ways to read this Mishnah. According to the Rambam and the Ramban, the Tanakhama is machmir. And what's the pshat? The Tanakhama says that we don't rely on rifu yadav. Why? We're concerned that maybe you won't loosen them enough. Right? Meaning to say, whenever, if I'm holding a fancy crystal vase, you don't need to tell a vase, a cup, so I'm afraid to loosen it, because I'll drop it and break it. Or, if I'm holding somebody's hands when they're going into mikvah, right? Why am I holding their hands? Because it's very slippery, or because they don't have mobility. So I'm not going to hold on to them loosely, because then they might slip and fall and drown, right? So I'm going to hold on tightly. Therefore, we're concerned, you're not going to hold on loosely, and therefore, the Tanakhama, which we follow, the Chachamim say, the only etza is to wet your hands. The Rashba says the opposite, that Rabbi Shimon is the Chumrah. What does Rabbi Shimon hold? He holds washing your hands doesn't work. Why? Why would washing your hands not work? The answer is because Rabbi Shimon is concerned that you're going to hold your hands on so tightly that even though your hands are wet, even if they're tofech omenas latfiach, still, if it's a very strong hiduk, if it's very strong grip, so there will be no connection between the water in between your hands and the rest of the mikvah, and there's not going to be a chibor, and that's going to invalidate the tefillah. Now, the Rashba has to be bothered by the question. We know that you don't have to lift up your feet when going to the mikvah. Why don't we say that there's a chatzitza between your feet and the floor of the mikvah? So he says, no, that's different. My makdimin. In other words, my feet have to go through the mikvah before they get to the bottom of the water. Now, either way, the halach is like the Tanakhama, which case the chachamim are not choshesh that you're going to squeeze too hard. So again, according to the Rambam and the Ramban, the halach is that this will only work if yidiach yadav, but rifoy will not work, or gozer atu ena rafoy, according to the Rashba. Either way works. Either way, lahalacha, either hiduk, either rifoy or washing beforehand. The Shulchan Aruch here is machriya lahakel, like the Rashba, and therefore he's mekel. Either one works. It's very interesting. Why isn't he choshish for the Rambam? Right? Especially because it's not just the Rambam. It's the Rambam, it's the Ramban, it's the Ra'ah. It's interesting that he doesn't even bring it as a Yeshomrim, like you would expect. So that's why the Bach Taka Paskin's like the Rambam, and he thinks the Shulchan Aruch is wrong. Now, if you take a look at the Shulchan Aruch in Yerodeya Simen Kuf Chaf Siv Beis, which is Hilchos Tefilas Kelim, so the Mechaber says the same thing: Tzarich Sheyah Kli Rafui Biyado B'Shas Tefila Shemahadko Biyado Havei Chatzitza V'Em Lech Lech Yado B'Mikva Tchila Ein Lachosh. But then the Rama says a very perplexing comment: V'dafka shalich lech yadav b'mei mikva avalo b'mayim tlushim. Meaning to say that when you do lech loch, right, I would have thought it's fine to wash your hands in the sink and your hands are all wet, and then you hold your hands on the kli and that's fine because there's a chibur between the water on your hands and the rest of the mikvah, like hashaka, shouldn't be a problem. So what in the world is the Rama talking about? And for our purposes, so the Rama doesn't mention it over here, right? Again, that would mean if you're holding a woman is holding a woman's hands when she goes to the mikvah, she can't wash her hands in the sink. She'd have to wash her hands in the mikvah. So there's two ways to understand it. It sounds like he's saying, as long as you use mikvah water, it's fine, even if you took your hands out of the mikvah, right? Because he didn't say otherwise. He says, you go ahead, you stick your hands in the mikvah, you take them out, I now hold on to my pitcher, and I put it in. Now, the problem with that is that as soon as I take my hands out of the mikvah, it's no longer mikvah water. That's klushim, right? So, if you think klushim is a problem, if you think sink water is a problem, then putting your hands in the mikvah, taking it out, should also be a problem. So that's why, according to the Gra, another Achronim, the Rama was saying that no, Rama isn't just saying you have to use mikvah water. Rama is saying you have to use mikvah water and you can't remove your hands from the mikvah. In other words, what I would need to do is, let's say, again, I want to watch be tovel this pitcher. So I hold the pitcher in my left hand. I put my right hand into the mikvah. I pass the pitcher from my left hand into the right hand while keeping the right hand in the mikvah. And then I immerse it, or I, if I want to use my other hand, I put that into the mikvah also once it's immersed, and I don't take it out. So that is the psak of the Rama as understood by the Gra. Now, so what are we paskening like? So again, the Mechaber seems to be paskening Lakula like the Rashba. Why? So the Taz says that's because we're dealing with a Din d'Rabbanan. Why? Like we mentioned before, it's miut ve'eno makbid. Sorry, miut umakbid. And kedaihu arashba lismochalav for a din derabbanan. The Taz also is not choshesh for the Rama in Simen Kufchaf, because even if there is a shita that holds this way, as the Gra points out, this might be the view of the Mordechai. We don't paskin that way. The Gra also doesn't paskin that way. Now, when I said before, the Gra reads the Rama as saying it needs to be mei mikvah. That's the way he reads the Rama, because it doesn't make sense to say you could take your hand out of the mikvah, then it's tulshim again. But it doesn't think we paskin like that. So therefore, according to the Taz, we're very mako. Tefillas Kelim is really very easy. Because either hold on to it loosely or just wet your hands first. But you don't have to worry about wetting your hands and not taking them out of the mikvah, right? You can wet your hands in the sink, you can wet your hands in the mikvah, you take your hands out of the mikvah, and you immerse it. That is the view. Whereas the Shach, as we'll see in a moment, is choshesh for the Bach, who thinks we should be choshesh for the Rama, that requires mei mikvah dafka. What isn't clear, though, is whether the Shach thinks it's mei mikvah and you can't take your hands out of the mikvah, like the Gra reads the Rama, or no. The Shach sounds like the simple reading of the Rama, which is as long as it's mei mikvah, that's good enough, even if you take your hands out of the mikvah. Okay. Yes?
Even according to this Rama, is it true that as long as your wet hand is still connected to something that's connected to the water, it's still okay? It's not solution?
You mean if you learned like the Gra? You want to propose a middle possibility, which is if you take your hands out of the mikvah, it's okay according to Rama as long as it's connected to something that's connected to the mikvah. That would remain a chibur.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't know. Let's look into it. Now, let's talk about Dibuk Chazak. So far, we basically saw that there's a two dargos, right? Shnaim Shem Arba, right? What do I mean? Rafoi works for the Rashba, not for the Rambam, right? The Rambam said Rafoi doesn't work. Rogozer Atu Eino Rafoi. And the Rashba says Rafoi works. And then the second possibility is Hadacha works, right? And then again, we have two possibilities, how to do Hadacha. Does Hadacha have to be mikvah, mei mikvah or not? In terms of it has to be mei mikvah. Is it only mei mikvah where you didn't leave the mikvah or even where you did? But everybody agrees that Hadachas Hayadayim does work in some way, right? Because, again, the Rashba would think that Rav Shimon doesn't think it works, but we pass him like the Chachamim. So everybody agrees so far that Hadachas Yadav works. But maybe that's not so pashut, because we should be choshesh for Diba Chazak. What does Diba Chazak mean? That's what Rav Shimon is choshesh for, which is that if you hold on super duper tight, that's what Rav Shimon is choshesh for according to the Rashba, that if you hold on to it super duper tight, then even though your hands are wet, there's still no connection, there's no chibur, there's no shaychus of the water on your hands and the water in the rest of the mikvah. So the Taz writes that according to the Rashba, even though we pass on the Chachamim that we're not choshesh for dibuk chazak, but if you actually did do a dibuk chazak, it would be invalid. In other words, what we said before is everybody agrees in the case of lich lech yadav that would work. The answer is yes and no. Yes, lich lech yadav works, but not if it's a dibuk chazak. Right? In other words, according to the Taz, well, there's one more point. But the Taz thinks, well, while that is the view of the Rambam, of the Rashba, the Rambam disagrees. The Rambam denies the category of dibuk chazak, because after all, how did the Rambam read the Mishnah? According to the Rambam, Reb Shimon was a kula. So we don't see any basis for this concept of dibuk chazak according to the Rambam's reading of the Mishnah. So according to the Taz, there's three dargos, right? There's rafoi, which would work even if lo lich lech yadav. Then there's dibuk benoni, which would work if lich lech yadav, it would work, and lo lich lech yadav, it doesn't work. If lich lech yadav, since your hands are tofech amanas latfiach es mischaber to the rest of the mikvah water, and it's a valid tefillah, but if not, it's an invalid tefillah, because through a dibuk benoni, part of the kli would not get access to the water. And finally, the third category, if you have a dibuk chazak, so according to the Rambam, that would work, and according to the Rashba, it would not work. The Taz also thinks that the Mordechai holds like the Rashba to be machmir for dibuk chazak, because the Mordechai says like this, you should be careful. Let's say you're doing a kli inside of a kli. So if you have a heavy kli in another kli, so due to its heaviness, it would prevent water from getting in the area in between the two kalim, right? And that's like the Rashba, because kovdo is doma la'oches ba'adam dibuk chazak. And the Taz is choshesh for this lamaisa. In other words, he's choshesh for the Rashba shita, that dibuk chazak is invalid even if your hands were wet first. Rabbi Kivager goes even further. He says that it could be even the Rambam would agree that dibuk chazak is a problem. Though the Rambam doesn't say so, doesn't mean he would deny the concept. Now, even dibuk chazak, though, my makdimen would work. And that's why, like we said before, you don't have to be choshesh for raglei hatovel, because even if there is a dibuk chazak between the bottom of your feet and the karka mikvah, Maya Makdimen would solve that problem.
And how is the Rambam know that? Like, what does that mean?
We don't know what the Rambam would say if you have lich lech yadav, but you don't have Maya Makdimen, and you have a dibuk chazak.
But meaning, if he's just saying that, but Maya Makdimen would help by dibuk chazak, then how is the Rambam being know that? Then there's no such thing as dibuk chazak, because you don't always have Maya Makdimen.
No, you don't always have Maya Makdimen. Like, I take my hands out of the mikvah, then you don't have Maya Makdimen. I wash my hands in the sink, or I take my hands out of the mikvah, and then I hold on to the kli b'dibuk chazak. So you don't have mayim makdimen. The only time you would have, if you didn't take your hands out of the mikvah, then it would work even with a dibuk chazak, right? In other words, how would you solve the problem of, you have a very fragile, delicate, expensive kli, that if you don't use dibuk chazak, it's going to break. Or that's at least your concern. So the only way to solve that problem is to have a situation of my makdimen. So you put one hand in the mikvah, you pass it to the other hand, right? Or you pass it from one hand to the other hand inside the mikvah. Then, even though you have dibuk chazak, you have my makdimen. Right?
Meaning that only assumes like the Ramah, but even if the
Gra's reading of the Ramah, correct. That's correct. But we don't know that the Rambam disagrees with that notion. All we know is the Rambam doesn't have any Tana in the Mishnah that's choshesh for that. And the Mishnah doesn't discuss that case. But if you think it's true, then maybe it's true. In other words, the Rebbe Kivager just says, how, Taz, do you know? What gives you the grounds to take for granted the Rambam denies the notion of dibuk chazak? Maybe he agrees, he just doesn't mention it. The Taz says no, he doesn't mention it because he doesn't agree to that concept. Okay. Now, But the Taz acknowledges that there are those that disagree with this, like we mentioned, the Rambam, the Rosh. The Taz thinks you should be choshesh for the Mordechai, who's choshesh for Dibuk Chazak, and as we mentioned before, the Gra thinks you don't have to be choshesh for the Mordechai that's concerned about Dibuk Chazak. Okay. So Bekitzer, according to the Taz, in Siman Kuf Tzadi Ches, the Rambam and Ramban hold that Dibuk Chazak works if you have wet hands. According to Rabbi Kiveger, so there's no Echreach for the Rambam. Now, what is the Shach Paskin? So the Shach over here, and it's in Kuf Chav Paskins, that you should be choshish for the Shita, the Rambam, and the Ramban, that you shouldn't rely on Rifyon Yadayim, right? Sounds that way. He quotes the Bach, and seems to accept it. So therefore, you shouldn't rely on Rifyon Yadayim, and you should have to wash your hands, basically, before doing the Tevila. And he's also choshish, ideally, if you could avoid it, that you shouldn't be mako with hadachas yadayim. Because the Mishnah uses a lashon of im hidiach yada tahor, which sounds like bidiyavet. So that's why he's miyashev the minag, to like let go for a second. Now, it's a little strange, because if you think it works, why is there a din l'chatchila, right? And mechatesi to be choshish, it doesn't work. He quotes from the Mari Brona an answer, but it's very difficult because we don't pass him like Reb Shimon. In other words, like it's strange to say, oh, we're choshish for Shitas Reb Shimon, right? When are we ever choshish for that? Against the Chachamim. In other words, again, our question is, the Shach says, well, ideally, you should let go for a second, and not even to be mekel with Hadachas Yadayim. So what's the reason for that? So the Sidrei Tara says maybe the Pshat is based off of the Taz. The Shach was choshish for the Taz. The Rashba by Dibuk Chazak not working even if your hands are already wet. And therefore, the Minig is to be Machmir to be choshish for Dibuk Chazak.
Maybe it's
it's difficult to say that. That does seem to be what Marie Bruno is saying over here. No, that's not it. Because that wasn't a machlokas necessarily. That wasn't a machlokas. That's an ideal. Yeah. But where there's a machlokas, generally speaking, you know, when the Chachamim say mutter and Reb Shimon says aser, again, that might be what he's saying over here, but it's not. We don't usually say, "Oh, you should be choshish for the mute opinion among the Tanaim." Yes, even lachatchila, and there's no. Yeah.
Think Shmuel referred to the groans and sign sheet is Rabbi Yehuda by the Dikos.
Yes.
That what?
The gra thought that the nachaber is a machmir for sheet is Rabbi Yehuda by.
Right.
I just remember
we asked the same question over there? Could be. Fine. Okay, so that's... So again, let's just chazer what we have. Right? So according to the Shach, you shouldn't be somech on ripu yadayim. According to the Taz, you could have Dibuk Beinoni B'mayim Telushim, and according to the Rama, Davka Mei Mikvah, and the question is how to read the Rama. Is it Mei Mikvah even if you removed your hands, or Davka if you didn't remove your hands? So if you wet your hands in the Mei Mikvah, and you take them out, and then you hold the Kli, the Pashtus is your Yotze, according to the Shach, the Taz, and the Pashtus of the Rama, and the Gra. But not according to the Gra's understanding of the Rama, or the Levush for that matter. So what should we say, Lamaisa? So the Badei Shulchan here says, L'chatchila, you should be choshish for the Shach, and the opinion of the Mata Yonasan and the like, that if you didn't remove your hand, you have to keep your hands in the mikvah. In Lansim Baila, you could be Mekel. So you can take a look at the poskim here, and again, many of the poskim are a little more myrich in Simen Kuf Chaf. Okay, Sif Chaf Tes. So it says over here that you shouldn't have your friend push you down in the mikvah. And according to Shulchan Aruch, that's all that halach is only said if the Shulchan Aruch, if the mikvah, I'm sorry, is exactly 40 sa'. So what's the reason for this idea that you shouldn't have somebody else push you down? So there's two reasons given. One is we're afraid that if they take their hands out of the mikvah first, so then the mikvah will be chaser. In other words, if we're talking about a mikvah mitzumtzum, so if I put my hands in mikvah and take my hands out of the mikvah, so now it'll no longer be 40 sa. So that means that the woman will not be in the mikvah when it was 40 sa. That's the Beis Yosef's explanation. And then the Rivash writes a different explanation. He quotes the Rambam that says the reason is because it's meguna. And the Beis Yosef quotes this as well, not here, but in Siman Reish Aleph. Why is it meguna? Why did the Rambam say it's meguna? So the Kesef Mishnah explains because it's nearer kamisachik. And even though you don't need kavana for tefillah, for truma you do need kavana, and people will learn from here that you don't need kavana. If you look at the Ramban, Sif Mem Ches, he also writes that l'chatchila for bayla tzricha kavana, and that's the reason for the halacha. So how do we paskin? So l'maisa, we paskin like the first reason of the Beis Yosef, and therefore this halacha is only relevant for mikvah mitzumtzum. It's not relevant for a mikvah that's not mitzumtzum. And the Gra writes, not only that, but when you have a lot of water, my merubim, it's meshubach. Kamosha kasav b'derech eretz zuta. Right? And there are some mikvahs that have this minhag. It used to be very common, it seems, that the mikvah lady would push her down. Why? To make sure she's entirely under and all of her hair is under and the like. Though again, okay, so that is the way we paskin. Sif Lamed. Most mikvahs that I'm aware of don't have that minhag anymore, though.
We say that when we paskin
Lafuke, the reason too, the Rambam's reason.
We
don't
hold that there's an
We hold that there's a lechatchila to have kavana, but it doesn't seem we're concerned that this lacks it. In other words, the poskim don't quote, well, the Gra at least, sounds like he's not being choshesh for this Rambam, which is why he says it's ideal. But the Rambam writes like this. Hakof yad ragla av yashu lam zamayim, hakof it's tocha mikvah viz meguna, latova pamayim mikvah viz meguna, ramul chaveiro kvosh yadcha alai b'mikvah viz meguna. Right? That's what, right? That's exactly what the Gra says based off of Derech Eretz Zuta you should do. Right? Omer l'chaveiro kvosh yadcha alai. So, at least the Gra thinks, and the common practice, at least in the olden days, of having the mikvah lady pushed down, shows that we're not choshish for the Rambam's explanation of this halacha, and we follow the first explanation of the Beis Yosef, which is that there's only a chashash for mikvah mitzumtzum. I assume that the reason why this practice existed more in the olden days is because the mikvahs were probably more shallow and the like. This was a better precaution. We'll talk about hair nets shortly, other ways of avoiding that problem. Fine. Sif Lamed. So the Shulchan Aruch, right, she doesn't have to put up her legs, pick up her legs, because Maya Makdimin. Now, the problem is that it's Mashma Dafka because of Maya Makdimin, but Mayim Tlushim wouldn't work. So what's the pshat? Right? Why do you have to come on to Mayim Makdimin? So it sounds like he's being choshish for the Rashba, that Dibuk Chazak would be a problem, and therefore the only reason why the reason for this halacha is because of Mayim Makdimin. And that's exactly what the Taz says. The Taz says you need this reason for the Mordechai that he quoted before. But according to the Rambam and the Ramban, who aren't choshish for Dibuk Chazak, so then even if your Ochiz Bekoach, it wouldn't be Chotzeitz, as long as it was wet. You don't need this reason. That's the way the Taz says. Now the Sidrei Tara says, if that's true, then there's a stira in the Rashba. Why? Because the Rashba in the Mishmeres Abayis says, like the Mordechai, like we said, that Dibuk Chazak is a problem. That was the Rashba quoted in the Taz that we just talked about. Right? And yet, the Rashba also writes two reasons to be makel for your feet. He writes, number one, my makdimin, and number two, because they're wet anyway. Now, the second reason isn't true according to him. Right? So therefore, there's a stira in Rashba. So the Sidrei Torah says, Al Korchachal, you have to say the Rashba was Chozer Mishmer Sabayas, and he held like the Mordechai. In other words, the Rashba in the Torah Sabayas that brought both Svaros did not yet hold of the Mordechai. And in the Mishmer Sabayas, when he was Choshesh for Dibur Chazak, he did hold of the Mordechai. You could say it's not so pashut that your feet would be a Dibur Chazak, but due to you're much lighter in the water, maybe your feet on the ground wouldn't be Dibur Chazak. But the Taz and the Sidrei Torah both assume that your feet would be Dibur Chazak. I guess certainly the Mordechai was assuming that way, because that's why he said you need Mayim Makdimin for the clean to the Kli. And therefore, there turns out, according to the Sidrei Torah, that there's a reversal in the Rashba's Shita. He doesn't want to say it's like a machlokas in Metzias. Anyway, the Shach Sifkat Mem asks the following question. According to Shulchan Aruch, over here it says you don't have to pick up your water, you don't have to pick up your legs when there's no tit, which implies what? That if there is tit, you could pick up your legs and what? It's fine, right? She could be toveles in muddy floors as long as she picks up her legs. The problem is, in Sif Lamed Gimel, what did the Shulchan Aruch paskin? That you shouldn't be tovel in a mikvah with tit on the floor at all. So there's a stira in the Shulchan Aruch. Again, Sif Lamed implies that if it's a muddy floor, pick up your legs, but you could be tovelis nonetheless. Sif Lamed Gimel says if it's a muddy floor, you can't be tovel at all. So the Shach gives two possible answers. Number one is, he's docha the diok from Sif Lamed. Actually, if there's tit, you can't be tovel at all. In other words, even though the Shulchan Aruch says that but don't be redayik, if there is tit, it's good enough to be magbiya ragla. Rather, if there's no tit, you don't have to pick up your legs. And if there is tit, as we say in Sifla Megimel, you can't be tovales at all. Answer number two that the Shach says is that here we're talking about tit that's not so thick, and tit that's not so thick, so then you can be tovelis, but you have to pick up your feet. And in Sif Lamed Gimel, he's talking about tit that is very thick, in which case picking up your legs doesn't work. Why? Because the mud gets stuck to the bottom of your feet and in between your toes, and even if you pick up your feet, it doesn't help. So then it would come out that there are three levels according to the Shach, right? If there's no tit at all, then you don't have to pick up your feet at all. If there is tit she'eno ava, then you have to pick up your feet. And if there's tit ava, then you can't be tovelis at all. Now, if you hold to this answer, so then we're saying that that sometimes you do have to pick up your feet. Now, why don't you say my makdimin over here? So you have to say that due to the heaviness of the body, when you stand up on the floor, the tit gets in between your cracks. It talks about mitocha machmas kovid ha'adam v'sedakav bein etzboseha, and we're choshesh that that the mud will cling to your skin entirely. There'll be no water underneath, in which case the svara of my makdimin doesn't work. Now, Derech Agav, this second answer of the Rashba, of the Shach, right, that according to the Mechaber, you can't be Tovel in... Sorry, the first answer of the Shach, that according to the Mechaber, you can't be Tovel in Tit at all, is Mefurish in the Rashba and Tarsabayas. In other words, it's explicit. I don't know why the Shach brings both answers, because if you look at the Rashba and Tarsabayas explicitly, he accepts the first answer. You can't be Tovel in Tit at all. Fine. I guess we'll stop here. Pick up Ezra's Hashem next time with Sif Lamed Aleph. For Sif Lamed Aleph, it's a little confusing, but to understand it properly, and we'll try to explain next time, you have to make sure you know the Mishnah very well with all the explanations of the Mishnah, namely the Ravid, the Rosh, the Rambam, and the Rash. If you don't have those four shitos in the Mishnah down pat, then the long cheshbonos and the nosei kelim will get you very confused. But if you start off with clarity in the Mishnah, then it's a little less confusing. A little. Okay.